Our scripture readings from Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God."
So according to the bulletin, we have reached the 12th of January, which means, I'm assuming, that by now we're all feeling the strain of those New Year's resolutions. Actually, let's go ahead and do a quick survey here. If you have not fallen off the bandwagon yet, if you are still going strong on your resolution, let's claim it. Oh, good, choir, you just saved the day. Like, you just doubled it. I count eight. All right, so you all who raised it, you all are incredible, and you are an inspiration to the rest of us. So thank you, all eight of you. I'm cheating. I'll just be honest. I'm up for ordination this year, and all my work was due last Wednesday, so I decided, as far as I'm concerned, the New Year's didn't start till last Thursday. So I'll let you know in about a week how I'm doing. I have probably the same as most of you had in the beginning, right? Lose a little weight, eat a little better, work on anxiety, the same old stuff. So you feel free, next Sunday when we gather together, you challenge me, see how I'm doing. Is that fair? Okay. I want to talk about New Year's resolutions for a minute, partly because I'm getting caught up in the motivations behind them, why we make them, and how to finish strong. So the eight of you who raised your hand, I want you to keep going strong. And for the rest of us, I want to find a little hope, if I can, of how to maybe rekindle it, or if nothing else, maybe do better come 2021. So I want to do another quick survey, if you don't mind. Raise your hand if you made a New Year's resolution at any point the last few weeks or so. So the eight of you who raised it up, and then all of us who maybe fell off the bandwagon, get your hands up. Okay, fewer people are raising their hands now than before. And the math there, if you have made a resolution at all in the last few weeks, there should be at least eight hands in the air here. Whether you are keeping it or not, there we go. I knew that math couldn't be right. Okay, now for those who raise it, keep them up. It's okay. Thank you. If your motivation for making this resolution was some feeling of dissatisfaction, if maybe you were looking in the mirror and didn't really like what was looking back at you, or if you didn't like how little sleep you'd been getting, or there's something in your life you didn't like, and that's why you made the resolution, keep your hand up. Everyone put it down. Everyone else put it down. Okay, good. You can put it down now. Not a single hand went down when I asked that question, and that was my guess. If everyone had put their hand down, the whole sermon would have been ruined. So thank you for playing along with that, because here's my theory. When we want to see change in our lives, whether that's at New Year's, any other time, that is the approach we take. We look at our life over the last weeks, months, years, decades, however, and we look at the things we don't like, and they're so easy to see. If you look at your life, the first things that pop up, I'm willing to bet, are the things you don't like about it, the things you would change about it, whether that's the stress, the weight, certain relationships you're not quite happy with that maybe need to be gone or improved or whatever it is. We look at those things we don't like and we imagine just how much better life would be if they just got better. If they just improved or just simply went away, whatever it is. Like, if only I worked a little less in the evening and went to bed relaxed, I could get so much more sleep and I would feel so much better. And so then that's the resolution. Work late less, get better sleep. Right? Maybe if it's, you know, if I could just lose some of that weight I see in the mirror. I don't know where it came from, but it needs to go back. I would look so much better and feel so much better. And so that's the resolution, right? We don't like it. We want it to change. Maybe it is that toxic person. They just exhaust me. I just need to cut. If they were out of my life, like, God be with them, but not me anymore. Like, oh, how relaxed I would be, how much more fun. You get the theme, right? There's a thing I don't like. If it would just change, life would be better. And so that's what we do. We focus on the bad thing, and we work on making that thing better. Think of it as the New Year's resolution mentality. And all that's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but you know, change, real change, it takes time, right? Very few changes come just like that. And so to change our lives over the long haul, we have to put in the work over the long haul, you know? And we know that. We were prepared for that on the 1st of January. But it's the 12th of January, and like, this is a safe place, right? Let's just admit, when you're making big life changes, 12 days is a long time. Like, those eight of you who raised your hands, like, you all are great, but we're not you, okay? That's 12 days is a long time when you're making big changes. And right about now, you know, the first week we were good, but now it's the second week, and it's just a little slip, right? It was just 10 minutes late at work. Not all that much. Like it wasn't even the normal cheeseburger. It was the dollar menu cheeseburger. Like, that's not that much. That toxic person, I didn't even talk to them. It was just a text. It's just a text. It's not much. This week. Next week, maybe it's two texts. Maybe it is that full-size cheeseburger. 2 weeks from now, maybe it's 30 minutes or an hour late getting home. And then the week after that, you know, maybe it's 90 minutes and two cheeseburgers, whatever it is. And by mid-February, where are we? We're right back where we started. If you've ever approached a New Year's resolution this way, I am willing to bet that that has been your experience in the past. And those eight people aside, I'm willing to bet that was your experience this time around too. Again, if you've beaten the odds, congratulations. But for most of us, that's the reality. We focused on the bad. We made a resolution to change for the better. We were good for a few weeks, and then it just started that way. Most of us don't beat the odds. And actually, it turns out there's a really good reason for that. Scientists and spiritual teachers agree on this. Making changes of any kind in our lives by starting with the bad rarely works. Specifically, what I mean by that is if you focus on the way you don't want things to be as a motivation for making them different and better, you are going to be okay for only a brief window, the month of January or whenever you're doing it. And you're only going to be okay so long as things don't get really hard. However, as time goes on and as things get harder, you start to get worn out from getting up early to work out, or you start to remember all that delicious food you're missing out on, or whatever it is. When things get hard, the memory of how bad things were will not be enough to see you through. And this is true for one very, very simple reason. We human beings have an almost infinite capacity to forget things. Oh, it's true. We have selective memory like you would not believe. This is part of why we always feel nostalgic for the past. Sometimes the past was better. Most often that's not true. It's just we've forgotten all the bad things about it. We remembered the good stuff. There was plenty of good things, but we've forgotten the bad. Whereas the present life we live in, we have the good and the bad. Well, of course the past looks better. Again, sometimes it really is. Most of the time, nostalgia doesn't make actual sense that way. We just forget. Forgetting, it can actually help us in a lot of ways, though. It helps us stay optimistic. Any pessimists in the room? Final survey. No one? Oh, John. John, I want you to know you're in good company. One person raised their hand downstairs, and it was my wife. So here's the thing. The pessimists, the two pessimists in the entire church, here's the thing. You're actually right. Science has shown us pessimists are not wrong. Their predictions tend to be accurate. The optimists tend to be wrong. Here's the problem, and John, I'm not saying this about you. They tend to be depressed because of how right they are. The optimists, we tend to be wrong, but we tend to be hopeful, and that helps motivate us. Is it maybe the best thing to raise your hope in? Probably not, but it gets a lot of us through life, right? Forgetting the bad that may happen actually helps us be determined and stay motivated and hopeful. Pessimists, I don't know how you get by, John. You'll have to tell us later. I can't say why for my wife either, and I've been married to her for 12 years. It's not all bad. But forgetting the bad of the past, it's also why we break our diets and our resolutions. It's also why we go back to those old addictions and those toxic relationships. It's the same reasoning why. We stop those things just long enough to forget how bad they really were. And then after that, we look back and, well, you know, it wasn't all that bad. It wasn't all that bad being overweight. It wasn't all that bad having that person in my life. It wasn't all that bad being stressed. Good things happened in that time, which they did. You're just forgetting all the bad, which means you're forgetting your motivation, which means, guess what? By mid-February, where are you going to be? Right back where you started. The memory of how bad things were is never enough to get us through for things to be better. And so I have good news for all the rest of us who fell off the wagon and broke our New Year's resolution. It was probably inevitable. It's what I got. I do have actual good news, though. For those of us who have been baptized by water and the Spirit, there is another way. There's another approach to change, and it is one Jesus himself took. In the passage you heard Arlene read, Jesus is almost ready to start the work that's going to dominate his life, the rest of his life. It's a work that's going to force him to travel all over the country of Israel and even at times beyond it. It's a work that's going to turn people up till now who have loved him and supported him, that's going to turn them against him. It's work that's going to bring the wrath of all those in power against him to attack him and even to kill him. But it is work that will change the world forever, and he knows it. Jesus knows what he is about. And so it would have made total sense for Jesus to approach the work he is about to do with a New Year's resolution mentality. Jesus could have looked at the way things were and looked at all the bad about it and said, I can make that better. There are people who are sick, who are ill, who are paralyzed, who are lame. I can heal them. Their lives will be better. There are people who feel so lost and alone. I can show them love and they'll never be the same. There are people who feel like God is so far from them, and even people who feel like God hates them, and I can be God for them. He is Emmanuel. Jesus could have started by looking at all that is wrong and working himself up and determined to change it for the better. He could have done that. It would have made sense. But that's not how Jesus got started. Instead, Jesus gets baptized. Right as he is about to start this work, Jesus goes under the water and hears his heavenly Father say those amazing words. You are my son. You are beloved. And I am so pleased with you. Here's a secret. Jesus' baptism, it's not really about sin and forgiveness. Ours is, and we often think that's all baptism is about, right? Whether you're a baby or an adult, you come, you get blessed, the Holy Spirit comes and wipes away all sin, and you're free. And for us, that's a big part of it. But here's the thing, Jesus didn't sin. Jesus didn't need forgiven of anything. Why be baptized? Because baptism's not ultimately about sin and forgiveness. That's just part of it for us. What baptism is really all about is something God does in that moment. In that moment of baptism, God offers his protection, acceptance, and approval. And those who are baptized, including Jesus, by going under the water, or in our case, sprinkling, whatever it is, accept that protection, acceptance, and approval. Now, for us, that means we need forgiven, and that's great. But even Jesus, who was God, but who was also human, Jesus, at the start of his work, needed to hear the Father say, you are my son, you are beloved, and I am pleased with you. In reality, baptism is about God declaring that between him and his children, things could not be better. Think about what those words mean. Jesus hears his heavenly Father say, you are my son, which means you belong to me. You are part of my family, my household. All I have belongs to you, and you fall under my protection, and that will not change. He hears his Father say, you are beloved. Meaning, I yearn for you. I take deep joy in you. I miss you when you are gone, and I love you to an uncomfortable degree. And I am well pleased with you. Meaning that there is nothing you can do that will make me approve of you more than I already do. I like who you are, and I like what you're like without you having to achieve or accomplish anything at all. Before Jesus goes and starts this work, before he changes the world, God declares to him that as far as the Heavenly Father and the Son are concerned, everything is perfect already. And that nothing could ever make the Father love Jesus more or think more highly of him. Before Jesus does a thing, the Father declares, nothing could be better between us. I hope you understand. I hope you understand this. Because it's the exact opposite of how we approach things. Right? We focus on the bad. And we steel ourselves, brace ourselves, hype ourselves up, ready to try and make it better. That's not how Jesus began. Jesus prepares for his ministry by hearing the simple message that as far as the Father and he are concerned, everything is perfect already. You are perfectly safe right now. You are dearly and perfectly loved right now. You have not done a single thing, and I already think as highly of you as I will ever think. God declares that to Jesus, and God declares that to every person who is baptized, including babies. Here in the Methodist Church, we baptize infants. There is no one who has done less to earn God's favor than a child. And yet even they, when they are baptized, have God say over them, you are mine. I will never love you more. And I will never think more highly of you, no matter what you may do, than I do this very second. God says that to children. There is nothing we can do or accomplish that will make God think better of us or love us more or offer us more protection than he already is. Call it the Mr. Rogers message. I like you just the way you are. Our only problem is we don't tend to like that message. It doesn't compute in our minds, right? You know, the thought goes, well, if everything's fine, well, what's my motivation? Like, if everything's good between us, then why would I change? If everything's hunky-dory right now, then aren't I just going to sit around and be happy and feel loved and not do anything to change myself or the world? Like, that doesn't, why do anything then? It doesn't compute in our minds. And even worse, gets us thinking of other people. Well, wait a minute, God. If God loves, if you love everyone that way, and if other people believe that, well, aren't they going to sit around just feeling happy and loved and not doing anything when I am over here busting my butt to make myself better and change the world? Does that seem right, God? You see the temptation in that? If God loves us as we are, if God loves everyone just as we are and will never love us more no matter what we may do, if God likes us as we are and will never like us more no matter what we do, then there is no possible way in God's eyes for us to be better, safer, or more cared for than anybody else. And if we're being honest, we don't always like that. We want to be better. We want God to think of us better, love us more, do more for us than he does for other people. It's hard for us to hear this message for the simple reason that it often doesn't make sense to us and for the sinful reason that it robs us of a superiority complex. The good news is, if you can get over both of those things, and I'm not saying that's easy, if you can let go of the need to compare yourself to others, if you can let go of the need to completely understand how God works, if you can just accept these words from God that he spoke over Jesus, then you will realize something incredible. That everyone, including you, who has been baptized, has been adopted by God. Everyone, including you, now belongs to God's family. And God has said to each and every one of us, you are my child. You are dearly beloved. And I am so very pleased with you. Nothing we do, no New Year's resolution we can keep, no impact we can make in the world, no matter how important we become, nothing can make God love us more, protect us more, or approve of us more. There is nothing for us to do. A year from now, New Year's resolution 2021, by then, if you have lost those 10 pounds or not, God will not love you any more or less. If you have changed this community or the world or not, God will think just as much of you as he does right now. Whether you've earned that promotion or not, God is going to have your back and protect you just as much. You already have everything from God you will ever have. It is simply a matter of receiving it. But if you do, if you acknowledge it and receive it, do you know what is so incredible about that? Do you know what that means? It means the future is completely open to you. Nothing has to happen anymore. And so everything can happen. Nothing you can do, nothing you will change God's feelings for you. And so nothing needs to change, which means that now suddenly everything can. There is no pressure to it. There is no fear of it. There is no insecurity wrapped up within it. There is absolute freedom. means you have complete freedom in your life, and more important, it means God has complete freedom in your life. When nothing has to happen, everything can happen. And when God has complete freedom in your life, there is nothing that is impossible with God. Suddenly, transformation becomes possible. Suddenly, miracles become possible. People who see miracles happen in their lives are the very people who did not need to see miracles happen in their lives. The people who see transformation in their lives are the very people who did not need to see transformation in their lives. Because with all of our fears out of the way, with all of our insecurities out of the way, the wind of God's Holy Spirit is now suddenly free to blow in our lives and through our lives and into the world. The fact that we don't need it to is the very thing that allows it to happen. And when it does, there is nothing God can't do. Hear those words and receive them. You are now my child. You are now dearly loved. You are right now completely pleasing to me, and nothing you do will ever change those things. As we prepare to come to these waters today, those are the words that are spoken over you. I simply invite you to hear them again.